When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We know the deal is basically done between the Green Bay Packers and the New York Jets. So let's head out to two guys that I know love the Green Bay Packers, and that is Bart Winkler, who works here for us on CBS Sports Radio, and then Ryan Horvat, that you could hear on BetMGM tonight, who both join us now. Bart, let me first start off with you, because I know Ayahuasca Aaron and you don't really see eye to eye anymore. When you officially got the alert yesterday with the details of the deal, we all knew this was going to happen. It was just what was actually going to be going back to Green Bay and what was going to go with Aaron Rodgers to New York. How'd you kind of process it?
I was very pleased to see the trade compensation for the Packers, and I'm glad to be doing this with you and with Horvath, because where we were at, we were doing a draft show together 3 years ago when they drafted Jordan Love, and we both despised the pick, like didn't understand it. And we still are at that place. But since then, we've kind of branched. Like, I'm like, all right, let's just move on as quickly as possible. Horvath wants Rodgers' last breath to be under center for the Green Bay Packers as a 85-year-old person. He never wants that to happen. So I see the trade. I was taking a patented Bart midday nap, and I wake up and I'm not quite understanding the compensation yet, because I thought that the Packers got a second round pick next year. The qualifier was based on how they did next year. Like, oh, if Rodgers plays next year, to find out it's the 65% is for this upcoming season. And there's no contingency on if he comes back or if we have to go through another offseason of all this. I was ecstatic. I think this was a weird situation where the Jets played it wrong at every possible turn. They could have had to give up a lot less for this. And what the Packers did was really make them feel the pressure and give up way more than maybe they should have. So I love the compensation. I love the deal. I know Jets fans are excited because they say, hey, well, Aaron Rodgers is part of that compensation, and we've had terrible quarterbacks forever. But for the Packers, it's time to move on. They got a bunch of picks, move up a couple spots. I'm very happy with the deal.
Yeah, and Ryan, from your end of it, I know that you love Aaron Rodgers, and Bart is not really a fan of Aaron Rodgers anymore. But I was kind of surprised that the conditions, like Bart was saying, on that second-round pick in 2024 were as easy as they were to basically make it a first-round pick if he just gets through the season okay.
Yeah, I actually... Not really a big argument for me right there. I actually really like what they got in return, and I also like it because it's a clean break, right? Because, I mean, I love Rodgers on the field, but every offseason, I do agree with Barty, gets a little bit weirder, so who knows what the hell he's going to be up to in 12 months from now. So now, you know, you just cut all ties with Aaron Rodgers. You wish him well, and now you could begin this rebuild, because this is what Packer fans are failing to understand, though, Zach. This is going to be a rebuild. I think even if it's a rebuild on the fly, it's probably a 2 to 3 year process, because even if Jordan Love has a similar year to Rodgers did that first year in Green Bay, where he threw 28 touchdown passes, 12 picks, and over 4,000 yards, they still won 6 games because the defense wasn't any good. And this is a defense in Green Bay where you have 4 first-round picks up front. You have Jair Alexander. You have Stokes. You have all these first-round picks. And yet again last year, they were almost dead last against the run. They can't stop a simple crossing route. So even if Jordan Love ends up being the real deal, I still think this is a 7-8-win team. And that's why I just didn't really understand the rush to push Aaron Rodgers out the door. And I also hated the Jordan Love pick because you had a guy like T. Higgins available in that draft. And again, if you're going to rebuild, why not rebuild next year? Stink this year with a guy like Davis Mills, have the number one overall pick, and go after a Caleb Williams. Now you've had no time to evaluate Jordan Love. He's on the last year of his rookie deal. He's 24 years old, and you have no idea if the guy can play. So that's my problem with the Jordan Love pick and moving over to Jordan
Love. Well, I would like to then interject to you, good sir, because my argument would be, well, if Rodgers was a starting quarterback in Green Bay in 2023, Rodgers is not good anymore. He's not good anymore.
Well, I think Rodgers is still a very good quarterback. I do think the Packers would have made the playoffs, but this idea that Rodgers is winning another Super Bowl in Green Bay, that I would disagree with. So I did actually think the timing of this to move on was actually the right time because they did draft Jordan Love, and you're not winning a Super Bowl with Rodgers anyway, so you may as well, even though that's tough for Packers fans, some of them, it is the perfect time to move on from Rodgers.
See, here's my problem with that, though, guys, is you look at the NFC, who thought the Eagles were going to make that run? And then who actually scares you in the NFC? Okay, Dallas, we'll see what they do in the draft.
They don't scare me. The 49ers, and I don't know their quarterback, and the Eagles. Those are the two best teams in the NFC. So, Horvat, I get your point that they would have a shot, but the last few years, we've seen the Packers have the number one overall seed. And I know people make excuses left and right for Rodgers in Green Bay, but up against Tampa Bay, yeah, you crush LaFleur at the end. I get it. It was a stupid decision taking that field goal. Down five twice, three and out. Down eight, driving at the end of the game, stalled in the red zone. And up against the 49ers, that offense was a no-show. So why should I expect that Rodgers all of a sudden is going to get it together in the postseason, even though the NFC stinks?
Okay, not to make excuses, but you go to that game against Tampa Bay a few weeks prior, they lose David Bakhtiari, who at the time is the best tackle in all of football. They're going against that Tampa defense that, let's not forget, 2 weeks later holds Patrick Mahomes in that Chiefs offense in the Super Bowl to 9 points. He's running for his life. Rodgers played really well in that game, actually, minus those final two drives. Didn't have the best first half, but threw for over 300 yards, three touchdown passes, only threw one pick in that game. Let's not forget Brady, the greatest of all time, threw three interceptions.
And Rodgers didn't capitalize. That's the problem.
That was a really good
defense. Because he's focused on Devontae the whole time.
Well, let me ask you this.
Guys, we're having all these hypotheticals, and we're talking all about the NFC, and in every single hypothetical, Jordan Love has a ceiling of 7 or 8 wins. Every time. Why? What if he's good? What if it's like when Mahomes took over for Alex Smith and right away you knew he was good? How do we not think that Jordan Love is at least capable of that? And I will reiterate the point that exclusively you only get from me, and I'm the only one that says it, and I am the most accurate about it, is that Jordan Love is good. I know he's good because Rodgers knows he's good.
Fair point.
That's why Rodgers would not sit down, because he didn't want the world to see Love, because then he knew he'd be pushed out and he knew he couldn't do his McAfee, and you know, so I really believe, and I got a $10 ticket on it, that Jordan Love is taking this team to not a Super Bowl, but the playoffs.
Hey, you want to tell me the playoffs? It's not crazy, as Bart Winkle and Ryan Horvat is with us. I'm not expecting the playoffs, but Horvat said it, right? You think 7 wins this year for Green Bay? Is that what you said?
I think the market kind of tells you everything you need to know about Green Bay. They have the worst odds. You're getting 4-1, better than a 4-1 price on the Packers to win the NFC North. Like I said, man, this isn't a knock on Jordan Love. I actually don't really have a whole lot of concerns about the offensive side of the ball. I like Christian Watson. I think Jordan Love will be great for Romeo Doubs because I think Aaron Rodgers just torched his confidence by throwing him under the bus. I think they still need a tight end. The offensive line should be better. You have Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. My concern, again, is the defensive side of the ball, man. Like, they overspent on a guy like Devondre Campbell. Now we see why he bounces from practice squad to practice squad every year. Rasul Douglas. We'll see what Eric Stokes is. You know, year three out of Georgia. I like Jair. I don't know who the heck the safeties are. Savage is no good. Adrian Amos is getting old. So that's my concern, man. I just don't think the defense is very good after using all those first-round picks. So I wouldn't be shocked if they finish with 5-6 wins.
Wow.
Hopefully, you know, they do finish with 10 wins.
Yeah, I thought that I said yesterday, the low point for me is probably 7 wins. The high point is 9 wins. Horvat is way underneath that. Bart Winkler, let me ask you, Mr. Packers are going to the playoffs. Let's get the prediction on the record right now. How many wins for the Packers this year?
And I'll preface this by saying Horvat and I would do shows together where we'd win, lost the segment.
Yes.
And we'd say like, you know, nine wins probably. By the end of the segment, they were 13-3 every year in Horvat's mind. So to hear you say 5 or 6 wins, I am stunned. The floor is 7. The ceiling is 11.
11's a big number for a rookie quarterback.
Fourth year quarterback, Kelby.
But it's basically a rookie quarterback. The guy, I know he got some praise from Darius Slay. He's barely played in the NFL.
Also, Darius Slay is one of the nicest guys. He gives praise, Zach, to everybody. But you see what I'm dealing with, man? And this is the insanity that you deal with when you go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, and this is all you've known for more than two decades. Everybody just expects. I feel like this is just added pressure on Jordan Love. I actually feel bad for Jordan Love. I feel bad that he had to sit behind Rodgers for those years, because let's face it, man, now, like, if you're good in this league, you're playing by year two. And if Jordan Love was good, other teams would know he's good, right? Not just Aaron Rodgers and phone calls.
The Packers is going to trade him?
You don't think Indianapolis would have offered a better
pick? They traded up for a first-round pick. They're not going to go trade him. The problem that I have, Zach, is that there's some Packer fans that think that Aaron Rodgers is Steve Rodgers, Captain America, an unflawed human man, instead of a totally flawed, broken individual who has no identity outside of football and the last person he talked to. He is a personality chameleon, and he's a false god for sickle fans like Ryan Horvath.
And Zach, not to take over your show, but I would argue that he's better than Steve Rodgers, because I've never seen Steve Rodgers come back at halftime, play with a broken leg, beat the Chicago Bears. I never saw him come back early from a broken collarbone to beat the Chicago Bears.
Steve Rodgers took down the Chaturi when they invaded New York.
Bart Winkler and Ryan Horvath here with us. This is absolute gold. I'll get to the Bucks in just a second, but real quickly, this is the way that I kind of dissect this. Horvath still believes Rodgers can win a Super Bowl in Green Bay. I think you're wrong on that. And Bart thinks Aaron Rodgers is basically like a bum now, and I think he's wrong with that. So it's like, I see why you guys disagree so much, because you can't be on more opposite sides of the fence here, which is ironic to me, because the way I found out about you guys is Horvath was taking a run at me when he was taking a shot at CBS Sports Radio. And the next thing you know, I kind of slid into the DMs of Horvath, just trying to be a nice guy that I am. And then all of a sudden, Horvath's like, oh, I was just playing around. I actually love you. You're my favorite host in the country, blah, 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 blah. So it's funny that now the two of you are going after one another when this relationship between the three of us all started with Horvath maybe biting off a little bit more than he could chew. Horvath, you're like kind of like Dylan Brooks in this scenario when it comes to me.
No. Not at all, Zach. See, I didn't never took a shot at you. My point was I was doing local radio and I wanted to do a show from 6 to 10.
You wanted to get me fired.
We have you talking about the Yankees when I should have been talking about.
Whoa, there is not a national radio host that gives Milwaukee more love than me. When the Bucks won a championship, I said to Mitch Rosen, are you guys going to take me off the air to go full local programming? He's like, why the heck would we do that? You're basically a local show for us. So,
and you're free.
Talking about the Yankees, give me a break, Horvath. You're more embarrassing than Bart right now with his Rodgers take. That's a joke. All right.
Zach,
go ahead. Embarrass yourself some more. Let's go.
I have so much faith in Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Now, not at 12-1. If you bet the Jets right now at plus 1,200, you're a moron, because you could have had 5-1 odds when we knew that this was going to happen, right? I've sent Bart my tickets. I'm very invested in the Jets. I bet them at 22-1. I bet them to win the AFC. I think at worst, they're a 10-11 win team, even in a loaded AFC.
Okay, but they're not winning a Super Bowl with Rodgers. When you're in a conference with Mahomes, with Joe Burrow, I know Josh Allen, the Bills weren't great last year, but they're still a better team, and they have the better quarterback right now in the year of 2023. The Jets, Rodgers will be in the playoffs this year, I think, but they're not winning a Super Bowl with ayahuasca, Aaron.
Here's all I'm saying. He's had a top 10 defense one time in his career. That season, he won a Super Bowl. I really like Sauce Gardner. I love the offensive side of the ball. I love
Garrett. Good team.
Wilson. If Breece Hall comes back and looks like Breece Hall did before he got injured, who knows, man? And then I'll have plenty of hedging opportunities, because, again, if Rodgers is going to choke in the playoffs, I could just bet against him. So I love the price. I do think the Jets are an 11-12 win team. Or who knows? It'll be a disaster. Bart will be right. It'll be like the final year of Favre in New York, and we'll all be able to laugh about it.
Last thing I'll ask you guys. The Bucks are down 3-1 in the series. Giannis had a triple-double last night, but it didn't mean anything because Jimmy Butler was just flat-out ridiculous in that comeback. Bart, you are the most positive but then also realistic Bucks fan that I know, because a few years ago you called the comeback from being down 2-0 to the Suns in the NBA Finals. The confidence meter that the Bucks still find a way to win this series for Bart Winkler is what?
It's not as high as it was then. I would have every fiber of my being knew they were going to win that finals. They could blow this series. I still would like them to win game five, come back and figure out by game six. That game was won. They were up 15. They're the better team. The Heat are getting, but again, this is a Bucks team that we always say this. It's an outlier performance. It's an outlier, but at some point, like the Bucks, in the fourth quarter, you traded for Trey Crowder. At least let him like get a look at Jimmy instead of put five fouls Chris Middleton out there. So Bud's gonna have to do what he always does: make an adjustment. One game, two. It seems like, but Mike Budenholzer is always planning for the adjustment that he's gonna fire out in game eight. This moron needs to realize that these are seven-game series. I still think the Bucks pull this off for some stupid way.
I can't bet against Jimmy Buckets right now with only needing one more win in the series. I hate to say it. I love the Bucks organization, but I think this one is a wrap. And it's unfortunate because last year the Middleton injury killed him. And this year I know you didn't have Giannis for the entire series, but it's 3-1. I don't see how you're going to find a way to have the Heat win three straight. Yourself, Horvat.
Yeah, you know, I think the good thing if you're a Bucks fan or you're a Bucks backer, because I have a lot of money invested in the Bucks, is you will get two of these games in Milwaukee. But the problem with the Bucks is Giannis is great. I know he's not 100% right now. Middleton just didn't come back the same player. So I'm going to stick with my original prediction just because they will have two of these games in Milwaukee. Miami, the way they're shooting the ball right now, I know how Jimmy's playing, but the role players have also stepped up. I'm still going to stick with my pick on the Bucks. I think it's a win-win, though, because if they do get bounced, I think you could hire Nick Nurse, possibly. You move on from Chris Middleton. I don't think this is like a crazy rebuild, and I kind of like some of the coaching names that are out there right now because they're definitely moving on from Budenholzer if they get bounced, just like Philadelphia, if they get bounced in the second round, is probably going to move on from Doc Rivers, because what else could these teams do? Run it back?
Well, this is a fun therapy session, I will say. I feel like I was a therapist trying to bring the once married couple back together. I don't know if we made a lot of progress, but I appreciate Bart Winkler and Ryan Horvat for doing this today.
We may not be on the same show or married, but you're still the one I think of.
Thanks, Janiyah.
Response there, Horvat?
Yeah, I love him. You know, I mean, he's wrong about the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, but we could find common ground on I don't know on what right now, but we'll figure it out.
Gentlemen, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Zach.
There you go. Ryan Horvat and Bart Winkler. Hickey, that was fun. You know what I was thinking about when Bart was talking to Horvat and kind of going after him a little bit? Whenever Bart fills in for me here on CBS Sports Radio, I always feel like he starts the show like, Hickey, how you doing? I never really get your relationship with Gelb. It seems like he always goes after you, and I don't know if you guys actually like each other, which Hickey and I actually do like each other, but I always feel like he brings that up and you hear his former producer kind of go at it with him there. Does Bart come off a little hypocritical in that sense with the question that he asks you whenever he does fill in for me on CBS Sports Radio?
I mean, I don't think we talk about you that much, to be honest, when you're not there.
I hear it when he starts the show. Huh. It's always like, Hickey, you know, Bart goes, your relationship with Gelb, it's always it's an interesting one. And then you hear his relationship, even though they're friendly, they jab a little bit back and forth, too.
Well, you see the passion about Aaron Rodgers, it really lights a spark on it. He's like a new, yeah. He's like almost a different man, Bart, when it comes to talking about anything else, Aaron Rodgers. Maybe, I don't want to give him a pass, but maybe I'll give him a pass because it sounds like this one subject more than anything else in this world gets him going.
Well, now I know the key word when talking to Bart Winkler. Like, if I really want to just set him in the wrong direction, all I have to say is, oh, what do you think about Aaron Rodgers? We could be talking about, like, anything. Like, for example, what's your favorite ice cream? By the way, how about Aaron Rodgers? And Bart will just go from being so calm to just off the rails.
Or Jordan Love stinks. Maybe that will get him going, too. He's fired. He's in. He's bullish on Love.
And I don't think they'll be as good as what Bart thought, but I don't think they'll be as bad as what Horvat thought. Like, I think the Packers are going to be anywhere 7 to 9 wins. And I think that's a pretty fair range. Like, do you think they could be as bad as 5 wins this year? The Green Bay Packers? Like, they're not going to be 11, like Bart said, but Horvat said they could be as bad as 5 wins.
I mean, they won, what, 8 games last year with Aaron Rodgers? Like, I think it's a chance, yeah. I have no idea how good Jordan Love is. We saw one good quarter from him against the Eagles, and I was very impressed. But can you do that for four quarters and then 17 times in a season? I have no idea.
Let me ask you this just real quickly. Because sometimes you think you know how many games a team's going to win, and then you look at their schedule and you're like, okay, you got a break. Just I'll do win-loss right now, Packers schedule with you. Let's go at Atlanta. We don't have the order of this yet. We just have the opponents. At Atlanta.
At Atlanta, I would probably say win for Green Bay.
Okay. At Carolina.
Win for Green Bay.
At Chicago.
I think the Bears get revenge this year. I'll say win for the Bears.
Okay. At Denver.
Well, Broncos win.
You could put the 85 Bears up against the Broncos.
Well, that might be a little. I may have some more pause there.
At the Lions.
Lions win.
Okay. Then Chicago again.
They will split. So win for the Packers.
Okay. So you have three wins right now. The Lions.
Home, right? I'll go.
You think they split?
I'll go sweep for the Lions. Okay. Lions are legit.
Vikings. This one's at Green Bay.
Oh, it's a win for the Packers. Yeah. Kirk Cousins in Green Bay. No chance.
Wow. Okay. I guess we'll
no chance.
Lock up the Viking. You didn't do the point in the looks, but it's like a 75% chance.
Lambeau, especially if that game's later in the season. Forget it.
Saints. This one's in Lambeau. Car going to Lambeau. Out of that warm, comfy dome.
If it's in September, win for the Saints. If it's in
you got to give
December,
the answer now without
it's
knowing.
A loss because he can't play in the cold. I will say win for the Packers.
Okay, so you have five wins right there. Tampa Bay.
Loss.
Kansas City.
Loss.
These are all still at Lambeau. Chargers.
Loss.
At the Raiders.
Oof. Win Green Bay.
Oh, wow. Like how Bart, you say Aaron Rodgers for Hickey, just say Josh McDaniels. You could really set off Hickey.
How can I trust him?
At the Vikings.
Loss.
Rams, Lambeau.
Win.
Giants, MetLife.
Loss.
And the Steelers at whatever you call that new stadium.
Acrisure. Loss.
Okay, so you had seven wins. Seven wins right there. Now, that could go, you could subtract two or you could add two. And that wouldn't surprise me. But I don't think it's wild to say that this is going to be a seven-win team. And I kind of want to root for Jordan Love. Because I'll say this about Love. He's handled himself admirably the last few years. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So in this new era of Twitter, Hickey, whenever I see something now, I feel like I have to double and triple and quadruple check the account. But this was a quote yesterday from John Lynch via Adam Schefter, where Adam Schefter said that 49ers general manager John Lynch on trade talks for Trey Lance, quote, "It hasn't been extremely active, and it's not like we've put it out there that, hey, we're taking offers for Trey, call 1-800, blah, blah, blah. That's not been the process. It hasn't been that substantive. And we're focused, as is Trey, on his ability to compete and play an integral role with this team," close quotes. That is John Lynch. If you ask me, what's John Lynch trying to do there? Saying, guys, there hasn't actually been a lot of calls for Trey Lance. He's available. If you want him, all you got to do is pick up the phone and make the phone call. I think that is as clear could be. And it's kind of crazy, Hickey, how quickly the Niners have soured on Trey Lance. We're talking about a guy that has barely played in Trey Lance. We've barely seen him. His first year sat out, pretty much, because they had Jimmy Garoppolo there. The second year, he finally gets the starting job and he gets hurt. We've barely seen this guy play. And heading into year number three, you know the coach is done with him. The coach didn't even want him to begin with to start, and he got talked into drafting him. And I'm a little bit surprised that it doesn't appear like John Lynch is putting up a little bit more of a fight. And that's the most damaging part to me, I think, of the way that the Niners view Trey Lance, because it doesn't even seem as if this is going to be contentious between Shanahan and Lynch, because John Lynch is the guy that ultimately did draft Trey Lance. And he's not in danger of getting fired because the Niners have been so damn good. And it's very rare where a team can miss like that, that early with all the capital that they traded to go get a quarterback and still habitually be what feels like in the NFC title game each and every year. So maybe that makes it easier. But if you had conviction to take this guy, not only at three, but trade up all those resources to do so, you would think the Niners would put up a little bit more of a fight. But all you've heard from either Shanahan or John Lynch this offseason is that if Brock Purdy's healthy, it's his job to lose. And you've even heard from like other people, Sam Darnold being talked up. And like maybe Trey Lance does start week one because Purdy isn't ready. Personally, like it would not shock me. We've talked about this before whatsoever. And I've changed my opinion on this, that if you end up seeing Sam Darnold over Trey Lance week one, but it's kind of like, I don't even know if Trey Lance is going to be on the roster, but it does appear as if the Niners are starting to beg people to at least kick the tires and see if they could get something for Trey Lance or what they would get for Trey Lance this week with the draft picks, knowing where they're going to fall and then whatever future compensation there is. But Hickey, usually when you have a young quarterback like this drafted so early, there would usually be a disagreement between a coach and a GM. We know where Shanahan sits on this one, but it doesn't even seem like John Lynch wants to even put up a fight here. It's wild.
And what I don't get either is this time last year, the 49ers, and that we believe is both Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, were dead set or on board with, I should say, of handing the reins over to Trey Lance after you just went to an NFC title game with Jimmy G. So you had a lot of success with the guy you tried to replace, or you thought you were going to replace a quarterback with Jimmy Garoppolo. No problem moving off of him and going to Trey Lance. And now after, what, a game and a half, right? I think he got hurt in the first half, I believe, or a game and three quarters of Trey Lance in 2022. Now you're ready just to say, basically, it's a fire sale. Take, you know, the first offer we get, you get him.
Well, it's not even that.
I don't get it.
I think it's more so, as crazy as this sounds, what Brock Purdy did. Like, I still don't know what Brock Purdy's going to be as a quarterback. And I know you could just as equally argue, well, Trey Lance really hasn't had much of an opportunity. But what Brock Purdy showed you in like 6 to 8 or 9 games, whatever it was, that was impressive. It was. And I know people could say, oh, the roster's great, game manager, blah, 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 blah. But then you saw what happened when Brock Purdy got off the field. It turned out to be a blowout in Philadelphia in that NFC title game. So I really do think where like fans drink the Kool-Aid, but like usually GMs and coaches don't. I think they're drinking the Brock Purdy Kool-Aid. And that's why they're souring on Trey Lance.
But I guess what I mean, I understand this time last year we knew what Jimmy G was, and we knew, okay, that's a guy that really is not going to get you a Super Bowl. So yeah, you can understand a little bit more of wanting to go with a guy in Trey Lance that's the unknown. But Brock Purdy started 5 games. He started 1 more game than Trey Lance. If you want to give Brock Purdy the job or let him earn it in training camp, okay. What I don't understand is that you're already basically saying, okay, Brock Purdy's our guy, even though we've seen so little of him, and we're going to push to the side and basically get rid of Trey Lance, who we also have seen very little of. Maybe Brock Purdy is the guy. Maybe he turns out to be the next Tom Brady. The guy no one sees coming, wins all these Super Bowls, and in 20 years, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch are laughing to the bank and laughing at everyone else.
Yeah.
But at least if it's not the case, give Trey Lance an opportunity to show you if Brock Purdy's not Tom Brady, that okay, we're not going to give up on a guy that we thought so highly of that we traded to number 3 2 years ago.
And I don't know what the rest of the league thinks. And there's always one guy that thinks if some guy couldn't make it work, I'll make it work. And there's always ego here. But even though he's saying he's not begging teams to call, that's him basically begging teams to call. Clearly the interest just has not been there. And clearly there hasn't been an offer that even made John Lynch say, okay, I'll take the beating for this publicly and just recoup whatever I can at this point. And that also, maybe there's more to this behind the scenes, and it's not fair to Trey Lance because then it just allows people to speculate. Maybe it is really ugly behind the scenes because we're talking about a guy that had such a high ceiling, right, with all these dumb terms that we use around the draft and hasn't really even played. And we've seen guys that have stunk in the NFL and still go for like a second round pick.
Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
Josh Rosen, Sam 1 year Darnold. After taken by the Cardinals, was traded for a second-round pick to the Dolphins.
Carson Wentz. Like, there's a bunch of guys.
Oh, yeah.
That have stunk, that have ended up going for stuff. But you know what's wild? Like, we always give these teams the benefit of the doubt. Oh, when you trade up to the number 3 pick, you got to have a plan. And how many times do we also say you have to love a quarterback, not just like a quarterback? I think more and more that this goes on through the process from a few years ago just shows you, as inconceivable as this is, the Niners really didn't have a set plan when they traded up to three, and they never really loved any of these quarterbacks. Because if you tell me the plan originally was to draft Mac Jones, and then you went through the rest of the process and you ended up drafting Trey Lance, you originally didn't love Trey Lance, and then you talked yourself into loving Trey Lance. And it just shows when you moved into that three spot, I know plans could change, but we're talking about a lot of picks that were traded away here. It wasn't as set of a plan as or an intention as what we thought it was going to be. The Niners, it's weird because they get the benefit of the doubt because they've been such a good organization with these two guys, had no plan, you know, set firm plan with all the capital that they gave away and never really loved any of those quarterbacks that were going to be available. That's wild.
Had no plan, gave up all that draft capital in the 2 years since the draft, back-to-back NFC title games. It's impressive. I'll give them that credit. Now, again, maybe know what you want to do and don't do that, but still very impressive.
We'll take a timeout on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'll answer the poll question on the other side. Also give you my top five favorite players in the NBA. Not the best, but my five favorite players in the NBA right now.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So, Hickey, I'm not surprised necessarily that this is happening, but I thought it would probably be after the draft. So Aaron Rodgers will have his introductory press conference with the New York media tomorrow. I believe it was at 2 p.m. Eastern is the time that I did see. And you just got a very lengthy but classy post from Aaron Rodgers. I believe it was on his Instagram where he did make the post. I don't know about you, like, yesterday was weird where, like, Gutekunst is like, oh, this deal isn't done yet, but it will get done, blah, 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 blah. And, like, today, it's, oh, yeah, the press conference is happening tomorrow. I'm just happy that this is over because it was a bunch of hogwash and nonsense that this was just going to linger and linger and linger and linger. And I'm not saying that one side over another really had more leverage, but I think both sides made out well here. With all that being said, though, I do think the Packers, here's like my big takeaway, the Packers only needing Rodgers to play 65% of the snaps this year for the Jets is the only way that that goes from a 2-1. That did seem underwhelming with how much pushback there appeared to be, where it was like, oh, it's nothing for next year. It's nothing based off if he's on the team next year or how far the Jets go in the playoffs. Like, as long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy this year, we know that both teams swapped their first-round picks. The Packers are getting the 42nd overall pick in this draft. Some other late-round picks for both teams. But then you're also pretty much a Rodgers. So you're swapping ones, 13-15. You get a second, and then you're going to get a one just as long as Aaron Rodgers plays 65% of the plays this year. Like, for all things considered, in what was a sloppy situation, good job out of Brian Gutekunst. And then also, I'm surprised there weren't tougher parameters on that first round pick or that conditional two that could turn into a one to make it a little bit tougher for Green Bay to get that one. I thought it was going to be maybe how far they go in the playoffs or if you would bare minimum be on the roster for next year.
And I think that's a win for Green Bay. I mean, 65%, again, it's hard to predict injuries, so who knows? He could snap his leg week one and it's all over. But you look at least recently, his health, he's been in the, like, he's been a workhorse. He has missed more than one game. I think he hasn't missed one. Had a season where he missed more than one game in 8 years. Or once, I should say, the last 8 years, excuse me. So he's been very durable. He has been a guy who's always in the lineup. So if you're Green Bay, there's nothing that has to do with playoffs or even coming back in 2024, because that's not, to me, not your problem. I think it's a big win to say 2023 plays 65% of snaps, you get a first round pick. Big win.
Yeah, like, it's weird to say that either side is a big winner, and I think that this is pretty fair for both sides, but I was impressed with Gutekunst was able to do. It was just how light the parameters were for that conditional two that could turn into a one. Hey, just looking at the Jets schedule real quickly. Sizzle or no sizzle? When I just give you the opponent. Commanders at MetLife Stadium. Go ahead. Just say sizzle or no sizzle.
No sizzle.
Well, that's a preseason game. I don't usually see the Browns. They have, oh, that's because it's the Hall of Fame game. So who cares about that? At the Cowboys, that could be Thanksgiving.
Sizzle, absolutely.
At Denver?
I would say sizzle. I'm high on the Broncos.
At the Raiders? And still, it's Rodgers, Wilson. At the Raiders?
No sizzle.
I would agree. At the Dolphins?
Depending who's on at the quarterback, I got to say that because, too, you can't say, you know, he's going to be there healthy. But if he's healthy, sizzle.
That's a divisional matchup. There's sizzle there. At the Patriots?
Yeah, there's some sizzle.
I think there's sizzle for the Jet fan because the Jet fan, probably for the first time in a long time, can really take it to the Pats. Like, the Pats weren't even that good last year, and the Jets still lost to them twice. Wow, we get Jets and Giants this year. There's sizzle there.
That will have some sizzle, absolutely.
Bills game, sizzle. Yep. Dolphins, Patriots, you already did. Kansas City, you get this year.
Oh, yeah.
Chargers, you get this year.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles.
Yep.
These games, all three of those at MetLife. Chiefs, Chargers, and Eagles all coming to MetLife.
That will be rocking.
At the Bills, obviously, sizzle. Oh, they play the Browns also in the regular season, too.
If Deshaun Watson can bounce back the way I think he will, there's absolutely a lot of sizzle there.
And then the Texans and the Falcons, we could kind of throw it out the window.
No.
You got some good mark. There are going to be a lot of Jet games in primetime. A lot. And I know we don't have the actual date of the schedule yet, but now we know Rodgers is going to the Jets. You got to think one of those Bills games, probably Thursday Night Football, or a primetime spot. The Eagles game, primetime. The Chargers game, primetime. The Chiefs game, primetime. Like, bare minimum, 425 for some of those games. Probably a lot of them Sunday Night Football. And maybe ESPN gets one or two for Monday night. Maybe one of the Dolphins game on Thursday night or prime time. Denver game. Cowboy game. Like, there's some big opponents this year. When just the quarterbacks, that makes it a whole lot of fun. All righty. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say the Jets for the first time in a long time will be on national TV a ton. Like, I think the max is 6. They'll push that number. They'll be pushing that number.
And also, it's the New York market, too, which you know the NFL is going to love as well.
Especially now there's an actual, we perceive, winner there for the first time in well over a decade.
Whoa. The Giants made the playoffs last year.
Well, I meant for the Jets.
Yeah. And even when they were in back-to-back AFC title games, it's not like they had these great regular seasons.
9 wins.
They won the division either year.
Yeah. They were, I believe, the 6th seed, right, both times. So, yeah.
Like, this is the first time in my lifetime, and you guys know I'm not a Jet fan, that, like, you walk into a season... And there's, like, legit, like, I don't even think they're going to win the Super Bowl, but there's legit expectations for the Jets.
Since probably Brett Favre got there in 2008, which is ironically the last time they got a Green Bay quarterback.
Yeah, and that was working out well until Brett Favre got injured.
Right, 8-3.
And then womp, womp, womp. By the way, I haven't updated my top 5 players in the NBA. So for years and years and years, Damian Lillard was in that number one spot. But you know what, Hickey? I have to take Lillard off that number one spot. And it's just because I'm tired of just not knowing, knowing what should happen, but not knowing if it's going to happen. Like, I admire how loyal Damian Lillard has been, Hickey, but he needs to stop being that loyal. Because the Trailblazers are just a dumpster fire, and they're a disaster. And in a bizarre way, even though it shouldn't take away my love for Damian Lillard, the fact that, and maybe it started to change a little bit with the way that he's talking this offseason, but the fact that he keeps on going back to the well with the Trailblazers, it annoys me.
Yeah, the storyline itself is bothersome because, yes, it's the same thing over and over again now for the last, 4 or 5 years? About will he leave? Should he leave? I'm with you. I'm tired of that for sure.
Okay, so I got to give you an honorable mention. And then I will give you my top 5 favorite NBA players right now. Jimmy Butler is an honorable mention. I love Jimmy Butler, but I added someone into the top 5, actually to the number one spot that hasn't been in my top 5, and I couldn't take out Giannis Antetokounmpo because of how much I do like Giannis Antetokounmpo. As much as I wanted to put Butler in my top 5 of my favorite NBA players, not the best, but my favorite NBA players, Butler is an honorable mention. He's in the 6th spot. 5 is Giannis Antetokounmpo. 4 is Dame Lillard. 3, still Steph Curry. 2, Anthony Edwards. That dude's a baller, and he's a great personality. And you want to know who number 1 is? Wouldn't even be in the top 5 last year. I love this story of Jalen Brunson. And Jalen Brunson, I just love the way he competes. I love the way that he plays. I love how gritty he is. And he's bringing some excitement back to New York basketball. So my top five favorite NBA players from this past season, Brunson, Edwards, Steph Curry, Dame Lillard, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Anyone you got a problem with there? Anyone you think you're surprised, egregious omission there? Hot take, Hickey.
No, I mean, they're all very likable. They're all guys that, you know, are very popular within the league. I was a little surprised you didn't have Dylan Brooks in your top five likable guys. That seemed like your guy.
I didn't do my top five bums.
Draymond Green, too. He, no honorable mention.
I like Draymond Green so much more than Dylan Brooks. I would not say Draymond Green, even though I'm kind of like fed up with this act, is a bottom five, or is it in the top five of my least favorite players in the league. Draymond's not in the top five, even though I've had some problems with Draymond. But Dylan Brooks is enemy number one. Bum Brooks, big baby Brooks. That guy, no shot he gets brought back this year. I don't even know. He may be playing in Europe next year. I don't even know where he's going to be playing. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Carson Palmer will grace us with his presence in studio. Next.